You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. We're looking into this week's tournaments. We've got the Dell Technologies Championship over in Boston, and we've got the D&D Real Czech Masters as well to look forward to in Europe. No Dave Kellner this week, so I'm filling in the presenter's chair. My name is Mark Walton. We've got no Mike Grenham either, but we do have Dave Tindall on the line, an informed Dave Tindall as well. How are you, Dave?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for that billing. It's nice to get one over the line last week.
Yes. Let's talk about that. Let's start with that. Let's go big to start with. 50-1 winner in the shape of Julian Seri. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. The American, I put it last week because I just thought it was a bit of value in that tournament.
I'd say you were right.
Really nice. Yeah, he's been playing really nicely this year, and it just seemed a big price in what wasn't a great event that made in Denmark. And it's one of those ones I could have said, well, I'll back him in the next three, but I just happened to pick him out in that one. There was a little line that he'd played in the Challenge Tours version of the Made in Denmark and been the 54-hole leader in that one. But this time he obviously kept it going all the way. So that was a nice little win at 50-1. And I also put him up at 33s on in-play radio on the Thursday night. So it did all work out very well for once there.
Nice. Nicely done. We will move on to this week's European action in just a moment or two. But quickly as well, I just want to give a little mention to what happened over in the PGA events as Dustin Johnson, DJ, beat Jordan Spieth in a playoff to win the Northern Trust. Looked unlikely at one point as well, didn't it? But what a finish to that tournament.
Yeah, it's kind of not often you get two absolute big guns slugging it out down the back nine. You think it should happen more in golf. I think in tennis, you always seem to get that combination of, in men's tennis anyway, like the big four contesting finals. And in golf, it never seems to quite emerge that way. But at this time in the Northern Trust, as you say, we got Spieth up against Dustin Johnson. Spieth looked to be in control. I think he went five clear on the final day, but made a double bogey. I think it was on the seventh, let Dustin Johnson back in. Dustin Johnson kept pressing, and then it was really nip and tuck, went to a playoff. And then DJ got it done. First time he's won since before the Masters when he fell down the stairs. So, yeah, it was a really, really good way to start the FedEx Cup playoffs. And hopefully we'll get more of these kind of big gun battles as we go on.
Yeah, I think we've seen quotes from DJ saying he feels he's back where he belongs and stuff like that. So good that he's recovered from a pretty turbulent few weeks and months since that fall. You mentioned there. With regards to this week's action, then let's start with the D&D Real Czech Masters. This is also more significant, perhaps, than in recent years in terms of it's the start of qualifying or the qualifying process for the 2018 Ryder Cup in Paris. It's at the Albatross Golf Resort, which is a par 72. It measures 7,467 yards, and from what I've been reading, some of it on your piece as well, Dave. It's a long, undulating course that the par 5 seems to have quite a big role in recent years.
Yeah, you actually get three in the space of four holes if you tee off at the first, which is a bit unusual. And the first hole itself is a par 5, and probably an eagle chance for some of the really big hitters. I think it does favour those who give it a blast, although last year it was won by Paul Pettersson, the American, who's kind of a short-hitting left-hander, so it's not completely clear cut, but I think the fact that Thomas Peters has got a win and a second there the last 2 years, it does show that if you hit it big on this course, I think you've definitely got an advantage.
Yeah, and Thomas Peters is the market leader for this year's renewal as well. He's 13-2 at the top of the betting. John Smith is 12-1. It's 14s for Matthew Fitzpatrick. Martin Kaymer is 16-1. 20-1 Jamie Donaldson. Lee Westwood 20s as well in the market there. Aaron Rye is 25-1, as is Julian Seri, man of the moment as far as Dave Tindall's concerned. Thomas Dietrich is 25-1 and 33-1 are bigger prices for the others. You mentioned Peters' very good record in recent years, but is he getting a bit short there at 13-2 at the top of the market?
Well, it was sort of a similar case in Denmark last week where he'd also won and he let the side down, missed the cut, actually. He'd also missed the cut in the USPGA, so you do wonder if he's just having a blip. But he did actually shoot a 70 in round two last week. So if you look at his poor scores, they're kind of getting less poor, if you like. So maybe he's just starting to rev it up again. 13-2, I think I can probably let him go at that price, though. I mean, I think the Ryder Cup thing that you mentioned, it being the start of the points race, you've got Peters, who played on the last team and was top scorer. You've got Matt Fitzpatrick, played on the last team. Lee Westwood. These are all kind of the top six in the betting. Keimer, who won, held that famous putt in Medina. Jamie Donaldson, who won who hit the winning shot at Glen Eagles in 2014. Lee Westwood. You've got a good kind of Ryder Cup contingent there. And Jordan Smith, second favourite. He's a guy who I'm sure will play Ryder Cup. I don't know whether it'll be this time in 2018. It could well be. But it's certainly nice to see a bit of a Ryder Cup flavour to the top of the betting. I suppose the other angle you could take is that because this Ryder Cup is in France this 2018, maybe the French guys will just have a little bit of humph to feel, or je ne sais quoi, or other French phrases, which... Feel free to throw in, Mark, if you know any.
I'll leave that to you, seeing as you do such a good job of it.
So people like Benjamin Hebert, he played well last week in Denmark, 33-1. You never know if someone came from nowhere, put a big it'll take a while, won't it, but put some big tournaments together, they could just start to have a whiff that they could play a part in that team. And certainly, I think there'll be Ryder Cup talk this week, and it will fuel some of those at the top of the betting. 33-1. He's kind of the shortest price of the French players this week. You've got others like Gregory Bordy, Mike Lorenzo Vera, but Hebert's the one in the best form. He's had, I think, three top tens in about the last seven starts. So he's certainly a guy who, yeah, maybe we're being a bit fancy saying he'll make the Ryder Cup team, but he could certainly do something this week with that extra little element in the air.
Okay, so would you take a little bit of a chance on someone like him just each way at 33s, or would you try and go with the more tried and tested rather than the little hunch there? Or
it is in the hunch mould, and there's sort of other hunches on other. I mean, I think Julian Suiu did me proud last week. I think it could be worth leaving some chips on the table for him possibly. The thing is, though, it's hard, isn't it? When you back someone at 50-1 one week and then he's 25s the next. Even though he's won for you, you just think, well, that's half the price. Can I really? So looking at it, I think there's nothing that quite gets me. It might be one of those ones I need to have a look in running maybe. But pre-tournament, I can't quite pull a trigger despite having a few little feelings towards some. But probably a no bet for me from the start in the Czech Masters.
Okay. Are you on in player radio at any point throughout these tournaments?
I'm on Sunday, so maybe have a look at...
Tune in on Sunday, see if he's changed his mind. See if he's...
he's going. Yeah, got something more definite lined up.
Let's move on to the other event then, the Dell Technologies Championship. Good event to look forward to this one as well. TPC Boston is where it's played. 7,216-yard par 71. Just the $8.75 million in the prize fund here as well. Tell us a little bit about the tournament and the course. What kind of player are you looking for to do well over in Boston?
Yeah, it's definitely a long hitter's course, this one. You can kind of clear a lot of the cross bunkers. The winning score, I think I looked at the last 10 years, I think you've got three times it's been won with 22 under. So you can make an awful lot of birdies. Last 3 years, it's been 15 under. So a little bit more of a test, but still it's somewhere where you need to keep that birdie count ticking over. And I think, as I said, definitely if you can give it a thrash off the tee. So maybe Dustin Johnson will feel he can win again. These big players we've seen in recent times, they can, you know, run up a couple of wins or sometimes three on the Tron. He's certainly the obvious man to go in again, although maybe his course form isn't quite as good as you might want. But him and Spieth, I think, given what happened last week, they are the two obvious favourites. Although I'm just going to look a bit further down the betting this week because I can't quite decide on the front of the market. Obviously, Spieth and Johnston in great form. Jason Day's coming back into it. Rory's won twice at this course, but he's just not quite on it. Ricky Fowler won this event 2 years ago. John Rahm played well last week. Matsuyama won a few weeks ago. That top six or seven in the betting, you could back any of them really, but I can't quite come down on any one of them, which is why I prefer to look a bit further down for someone who's probably got a bit more of an each way appeal, because we're going six places, so you can get someone into the each way spot. So I'm going to look a bit further down.
Okay, leave that carrot dangling there for just a moment or two then while I spin through the market in a little bit more detail. As Dave said there, fifth of the odds, place 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 here. And Dustin Johnson is the 7-1 market leader. Jordan Spieth 8-1. Hideki Matsuyama is 14s with Jason Day. Rory McIlroy also 14-1. John Rahm 16s, as is Ricky Fowler. 20-1 Justin Thomas. Paul Casey 20-1 as well. And then 25s Patrick Reed and 28-1. Or bigger prices for the remainder. Great lineup at the top end of the market there, isn't it? But who's the big price one then that could upset those big guns towards the top of the market?
Yeah, you didn't quite get to him, so I was hoping you wouldn't, and it would sort of take the gloss off. But it's 33-1 I've gone, and it's Louis Oosthuizen, former Open winner. Now, why do I like him? Several reasons. One of the main ones, I think, is he's... Obviously, we've seen him play in Europe and the States, but this year, because he's got a young family, they've based themselves in Florida. So he's played all his golf on the PGA Tour. And I think being based in one place rather than having to fly here, there and everywhere has really helped him. You look at his form since May. He was runner-up at the Players' Championship, obviously a massive tournament. Then 18th at the Byron Nelson, top 25 in the US Open, a second in the USPGA just a couple of weeks ago, and then 10th. Last week at the Northern Trust. The only tournament where he had to fly out of the US was the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale, and he missed the cut. So maybe that wasn't a surprise given what I've just said. Maybe he's so got his sort of PGA Tour head on that flying out back to European shores maybe just threw him a little bit. But he's certainly back on it now with that second in the PGA at Quail Hollow, 10th last week. Shot a nice pair of weekend rounds, 68, 69. So I think any tournament in the US at the minute, you've got to look at him as someone who's going to play it well. He was third for greens in regulation last week, so hitting his irons great. So the obvious question is TPC Boston somewhere where he does well? And you look at it, absolutely it is. On his debut in 2012, he was the 54-hole leader. Shot a 63 in round three before finishing runner-up. 2015, he was 12th. That was his second go at the tournament. And his third try last year, he was 8th. So he's got 2-12-8 as his form at that course. So you add in his nice play at the moment, add in his course form. He's a guy who obviously he's won a major before. I think 33-1 with those six places. I think we're looking at some nice each-way value on Louis Oosthuizen there.
Yeah, I like it. He sprung back into... my imagination a little bit at the USPGA, as you mentioned, when I noticed he was going into the final day right up there, I was like, well, that's a bit of a blast from the past. I haven't seen his name near the top for a while, so good to see he's playing himself back into form perhaps over there.
Yeah, definitely. I just think that knowing that he's in the States all the week and not jetting off, I think it's just helped him, you know, put together some solid form.
Okay, so taking a bit of a chance with Louis Oosthuizen then at 33-1 there as an each way angle. Any big price ones? Anything that can make the trader's eyes water if it goes in? There's some big names there, isn't there? Big prices, just looking down the list.
There's some fancy old prices knocking about. The one I've settled on as my second pick in this one is at 50-1, and that's Charlie Hoffman. He's someone who's been on leaderboards kind of for months, it seems. It's just got a raft of good form. Starting back at the Arnold Palmer in Florida in March, he was runner-up. He was fifth in the Zurich Classic, that pairs event. And then more recently, eighth in the US Open, really good effort. Third in the Travelers Championship. Runner-up in the Canadian Open, that was only last month. Third in the Bridgestone Invitational, that was at the start of August. So all that, lots and lots of top fives. So obviously great for each way punters. Just dipped a little at the PGA, but nothing too bad, with 48th made the cut. And last week at the Northern Trust, again, didn't pull up any trees, as it were, but he shot a final round 65 to finish tied 17th. So I think that sets him up nicely. And he admits TPC Boston is really one of his favourite tracks. He won this event in 2010, also finished third a couple of years ago, shot a second round 63, a pair of 67s, bookend 67s for round one and round four. Just kind of shot himself in the foot with a third round 76, but he still came third. So the way he's playing at the moment, for him to go to TPC Boston, one of his favourite courses on the schedule, and to get him at 50-1, despite what we said about obviously that class at the top of the field, I think 50-1, Charlie Hoffman, he's the one who could just upset the apple cart, I think, in terms of the favourites. And the other thing with him, it's the President's Cup, which is obviously the USA versus the international team, coming up in September. Now, in the qualification race, he's in at number 10. So he occupies the final spot to get an automatic place. So he's got to keep it going this week. Otherwise, there's people right below him who if they have big weeks, could overtake him. And then he's down to the kind of randomness of a wild card pick. And although he'd be a contender for that, there's lots of others who aren't on that team who would also be hoping to get a pick. So best thing he can do this week, Charlie Hoffman, is lock that place up. And obviously, why not lock it up with a win or top five at least. So I think just a few nice things in his favour. Current form, course form, and that extra bit of incentive to get himself on that President's Cup team.
A couple then in the portfolio so far. Charlie Hoffman there at 50-1, added to Louis Oosthuizen at 33-1 there. Any others you want to add or any you don't want to see win this week?
I would probably not want to see Jason Day win because I've been putting him up the last couple of weeks. He's 14-1. So his price has started to come into more kind of what you'd expect Jason Day to be. He'd had a little bit of a poor trot, hence we were dangling him at fancy prices. I think he was 30-1 for the USPGA, which was a reflection of his form at the time. But even then, you could see he was coming back into it. He is getting closer and closer, but maybe I still just think there's maybe the odd weakness in his game where I don't really want to take him at 14s, but you've got to respect his chance. And if he did win, I would be slightly kicking myself in the foot. In terms of course form, Jason Day, it's very good. He's got a second, a third, a seventh, 12th, 15th. He's kind of top 15 almost every year at this course, so you could certainly back him each way, but I just prefer to look a bit further down the list, given the fact that there's so many others around his price who are in great form as well.
Okay, fair enough. Quick summary then before you go. Dave, what are you looking forward to seeing this week? And just confirm those selections for us before you go.
Yeah, so the focus then is going to be in America, where it's leg two of the four tournament FedEx Cup playoff series. And unlike last week, where it was a course we were seeing for the first time, there is some good established course form this week at TPC Boston. So I'm going to make the most of that and use it. So I'm going to have a point each way on Louis Oosthuizen at 33-1. And I'm going to have a point each way on Charlie Hoffman at 50-1. In the Czech event, I can't quite pull the trigger at this stage, but I will have a look in running and I'll probably put something up on Twitter. And of course, I'll be around on in-play radio on Sunday night as well to talk through the final round of the Dell Technologies in America. So hopefully we can get some more winners there.
Hopefully so. And just for anybody who doesn't already follow you on Twitter, what's the handle there? Anybody wants to see what you're going with later on?
It's at Dave Tyndall Golf.
Oh, how did you come up with that?
It's clever, isn't it? What I've done is use my name and a sport. So,
yeah, you're not allowed to tweet about any other sports, though. That's the trouble.
Well, I know sometimes when I talk about football, I feel a bit... I've chosen poorly. There you go.
Fair enough. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, Dave. Good luck with the golf this week, and you'll be back next week, I presume?
Yes, I'll be back next week. So hopefully, will Dave and Mike be back?
That's the plan, I believe. Yeah, I think so. So should have the old band back together by next week.
Right. Jolly good. And you've not got a bet this week, have you?
I would be ill-advised to recommend anybody to spend money on my account with
well,
the golf.
I don't know. I thought you were big friends with Thomas Peters or something.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was talking to Chris Kirk the other day, who won this event a few years ago. No. Well, cheers, Dave. Good luck and enjoy it this week.
Yeah, cheers, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.